Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for joining me as we continue to get ever closer to the NBA draft. And that's going to be the focus of so many of our episodes over the next month or so. Hoping to bring on a few folks to talk draft with me. Before I get too deep into this episode, I do want to say a big thanks to everybody who has downloaded and rated and listened to the pod. I really appreciate that. Also, big thanks to my guys, Anthony Sane and Cam Rose over the Outsiders podcast. I was able to jump on with them on Sunday for a really interesting, wide-ranging, hell of a lot of fun segment and a show. We touched on all kinds of stuff. So if you didn't check that out, go check out their podcast. I want to say thanks for having me on, and I'll return the favor soon if we can figure out how to get – they got a great setup over there. I got to get the three mic setup. I'm a much simpler podcast. They got Anthony's got like a whole deal going on over there. I got to get my game upped a little bit if I'm gonna bring those guys over and pop them on here on Locked On Grizzlies. But with the draft forthcoming, you know, I know, the world knows, it is time for rumors. And let's, before we start getting too deep into any of the rumors, let's stipulate a few things right out of the gate. And the most important of them is the following. When you hear rumors, it is vital to understand this time of year especially that they come out for a reason. And it is your job as an informed, smart listener and reader and consumer of this stuff to figure out what that reason is and use that to figure out why you are reading or hearing what you're hearing. Now, it could be that, you know, somebody genuinely got information that they weren't supposed to get, and they are putting that out there for you, and it is a, you know, really insightful thing. That's possible. That happens sometimes. You know, guys learn things in different ways, and maybe it is that somebody didn't want that information out there, and it was out there anyway. But I would say probably more likely in these situations when you see, for example, a rumor of a team passing on a particular guy or really liking a particular guy or willing to move up for a guy or what have you. When you see in free agency, you know, this team is really going to go after, you know, player X or things of that nature, there's always a reason that they come out. There's always a reason that you hear about stuff like this. And typically, you know, it's from an agent or from a team. Sometimes teams float those ideas out there to see what people will think. Sometimes agents want to get their guy in the spotlight, want to get more interest for a free agent or for a draftee, want to try to, you know, generate some pop or want their guy to see that name out there. You know, sometimes in the draft, teams will throw out information as a little bit of a smokescreen for other teams or for, you know, the planning purposes or even for, you know, some media outlets. I know that there have been times when stuff has been leaked in order to find out who is leaking. You'll see, you know, teams will send out memos with slight differences and, you know, what's reported. You can tell by what's reported as to who is actually leaking. I mean, there's all different reasons why stuff emerges. And you just always have to keep that in mind. It doesn't mean that you should dismiss out of hand everything that you read or anything like that, but it does mean that you have to be aware of the potential biases behind the scenes, of the potential reasons why you would see that stuff. Take all that into account when you kind of go through this process. Now, that said, the Grizzlies have already been involved in some interesting rumors, most of them involving potential trades. Initially, Sean Devaney of the Sporting News reported that the Grizzlies were the most active in terms of trades, willing to move up or down or even out of the draft. That was clarified a bit by Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, who reported that the Grizzlies, at least according to other teams, are very active, but really only trying to move up, not so much down, maybe out of the draft, but certainly not down. Which is interesting because I think there are some trades down that would make sense. But for me, if you've got a top pick and particularly paired with another rumor that is starting to make its rounds. I think in this draft, you stick with the fourth pick, unless you can trade up. And I don't see any scenario where the Grizzlies could trade up. Anything that Phoenix or Sacramento would really want, you know, you can't take the 32 and add that to the four and get up to one or two. That's not going to happen. You can't take any player, really. I guess, you know, Mike Conley, but they're not going to take Mike Conley's contract. You know, it would be a very difficult move to do. You would require what Phoenix can take into some cap space. Wouldn't make any sense for them. So that doesn't work. Dylan Brooks, you know, he who is upset that he didn't make the NBA all rookie first or second team. But to be honest, I think that was probably about right. Maybe shouldn't have fallen quite as far as he did, but I think it's probably about right that he missed out on those teams, but he's not happy about it. I get that. You can't add him to the four and move up at all. So I don't see where moving up is a possibility for the Grizzlies. I think if they traded it, they'd have to trade out altogether in a deal. And, you know, we talked about that earlier in, you know, last episode, I think it was, kind of went through some of the reasons why I think that's a distinct possibility, if not a probability. Some of the names that you hear bandied about in potential trades, CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Andrew Wiggins would make some sense. I think it'd be a terrible move, but at least the logic of it, considering his age and the fact that he's from Kansas, and God knows Chris Wallace loves that, that would be something that you could see the Grizzlies sniffing around. I certainly hope not, but you could see that. Or the Boogie sign and trade, or there's all different things that you could potentially see happen with that pick. Again, I think that would be foolish. That would be short-sighted. That would not make any sense for what the Grizzlies need to be thinking about, which is replenishing, getting talent, and ideally top-line talent that's going to be around for a while, and starting to push the stock back up, starting to make things happen, you know, from a rebuilding standpoint, not just from a desperately clinging and trying, my God, to just make the playoffs again. That's not a sustainable thing. You make the playoffs, you squeeze one more appearance out, and again, that's a best-case scenario. I'm not sure that's even possible, but let's say you do. Well, what does that get you long-term? You got to start thinking long-term. You got to start thinking much bigger picture. And there's one guy out there who would really be great for that, and maybe he's a little closer than we thought. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. If you know anything about Locked On Grizzlies, and if you know anything about me, you know I am all in on Luka Doncic. Pushing all the chips in on the little Slovenian wonder boy. That's my guy. And so, you know, when the Grizzlies didn't get picks one or two, I started to lose a little hope that we'd ever see Luka Doncic wearing Beale Street blue. But you know what? Hope is funny. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes you have a lot of it, sometimes not so much. Sometimes things look good, sometimes things don't look so great. But if you stick around long enough, sometimes good things happen. And maybe this will be a case of something very good happening in the case of Luka, because the rumor is out there, and this is one of those deals that was reported by Jonathan Givony of Draft Express, and it was a consensus among various executives and other teams and stuff. So, you know, you have to take it with the pre-discussed grain of salt, but at least in that situation, it's not one source or one team or one agent or one person putting an opinion out there. This is sort of a collective opinion from a lot of different folks. And that collective opinion is that Luka may slip past Sacramento at 2 and Atlanta at 3, assuming he gets past Phoenix and his former Slovenian head coach, and now Phoenix head coach, Igor Kokoschov. If he can slip past them at 1, he may end up going all the way down to 4. Where I cannot imagine a scenario where he slips past the Grizzlies. Now, I know a lot of you, and God knows we talked about it with the Outsiders on their pod, and I've talked about it a lot with a lot of you on Twitter and in person and on my radio show. You know, there is still an unbelievable amount of skepticism for Luka. And I can understand that to some extent, I guess, because the archetype of the European wing, the white dude coming from Slovenia to be really successful is never really happened before. So, you know, I get that there's a little skeptical nature, understandable. But when you look at what this guy has done, and over the weekend, Luka was part of the Real Madrid team that won the EuroLeague, which is the, you know, second biggest non-international competition in the world behind the NBA Finals. You know, it's bigger than the domestic leagues that all these other guys play, and this is kind of a collective group of all the best teams around Europe that compete throughout the year and end up with a championship, and this was the Final Four. He won in the semis against CSKA Moscow, and he won again in the finals against Fenerbahce in a neutral site. It's kind of like the Final Four in the, you know, NCAA tournament, where it's at a neutral site every year, and all the fans come in, and you know, it gets kind of crazy, good atmosphere, good, you know, pressure, everyone watches, it's a big deal. Luka was the MVP of the Final Four. He was the MVP of the European or the EuroLeague season this year. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. He scored 15 points in the final game, had 17 points in the semifinal game. This is a pretty darn good performance for a 19-year-old kid. It's never happened before where anybody has come into the NBA draft at any age this decorated, this award-winning. Not only did he win all that stuff, but he helped Slovenia as a country win EuroBasket, the European Basketball Championships, back last summer when he was just 18, and he did play against, you know, Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol and Kristaps Porzingis and lots of other, you know, big-time NBA stars, and played extremely well in that competition. So the guy's got a huge pedigree. And, you know, from a scouting perspective, you know, I'll get more into it as we approach the draft, but, you know, suffice to say, I went back and watched James Harden in college. You know, I've watched a lot of guys in college, and a lot of the stuff that you think about for those guys, we all look at it through the prism of what they do in the NBA, but we don't look necessarily and go back and watch. You can look at some of the numbers, but you go back and actually watch what they did in college and compare it to what, you know, Luka Doncic is doing, you can see why, at least in my mind, Luka is a no-brainer number one pick. And if he gets to four, then it's an absolute no-brainer. You know, his ability to create, his ability to generate offense, his ability to rebound and drive, take it off the rebound and just go with it. The way that you see, you know, teams like the Warriors and the Rockets and others, you know, really take it. Like LeBron, you know, you grab that rebound and just freight train it down to the other end. It was something Derrick Rose was always, you know, really good at doing. That is vital. He's a transition wizard. In addition to all the other things that the guy does well, I asked this question on Twitter during the terrific Warriors-Rockets game 4, a stunning win by the Rockets to even up that series at 2-2 and give Houston a real chance to shock the world and beat the Warriors. But in that game, just watching the way it was played and how much passing, how much shooting, how much individual shooting, how much, you know, you would go from great passing sequence to big-time isolation plays to, you know, just a lot of really intense basketball. And it got me thinking, you know, how many of the guys that are going to be top picks could really play in that series? How many guys could really do it? And you think about all the big men that are expected to go at the top of the draft. There's no way that you could see DeAndre Ayton playing, you know, meaningful minutes in that series. Clint Capella is finding it hard to play a lot of meaningful minutes. And Capella is a, you know, much more traditionally, you know, successful big in the way that the league is operating now, with, you know, his ability to switch, you know, his diving ability, the athletic ability, that kind of thing. And even he can't play because you need to be able to spread the floor. How many guys could be out there and actually play? Well, it couldn't be Ayton. Couldn't be Bagley. Couldn't be Bamba. Maybe Wendell Carter. My guy Jaren Jackson, I think, could play because he can shoot the three. And, he could stretch the floor. I think he'd be on the bleeding edge, and he might even struggle to get out there, but I think he could play. But the guy that would absolutely, without a doubt, play is Luka. Luka could be out there in so many different roles, playing anywhere from 1 through 4, maybe even 5, in an extremely small lineup because he's basically got the same dimensions as PJ Tucker. He's 6'7", 6'8", 230. He played the 4 at the end of the game for Real Madrid when they were about to win the European Championship. He played as a 4. He was one of the bigs. Was down there, physically good rebounder for his size. He could switch everything, very versatile. So if you're thinking about like what is going to win in the league now, that's the kind of guy that you want. You have to start thinking about that. What do you think it's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Might be a little bit different, but at least for the foreseeable future in the NBA, you're going to see more need for switchability, more big wings that can create, that can dribble, that can, initiate the offense. All those things are hugely important, and he does all that stuff. The other guys that are at the top of the draft, I'm not sure that they do. They're much more specialized and, have a lot of strengths for sure, but I don't know if those strengths really coincide with the strengths that you need to be successful in the modern NBA. I've said, I think Bagley, 10, 15, certainly 20 years ago, a player like Bagley is the absolute no-brainer number one pick for sure. Ayton would be right up there as well. Bamba probably would be too. When big men were at more of a premium and you saw, those guys really running roughshod over the league because of the way the rules allowed them to play and all that stuff. Now the rules really really favor the ability to play in space. They encourage that. They encourage teams to be able to be switchable on defense because now the illegal defense rules have been loosened up and changed. You can even play zone if you want to. Whereas before in the Jordan era and before, when you really couldn't double team in the same way. I mean, you had to send somebody and that was it. There was none of this hanging out or kind of, in between. You had to really either isolate and just have a one-on-one matchup or, really send somebody over, but make yourself really exposed to an easy pass and, probably a wide open shot. That's the rules allowed you to play that way and really pushed you to play that way, which is why you saw so many guys, succeed in doing that. But with the rules changes, they've forced you to play a little bit of a different way. And now you need players that can do that. And to me, Luka represents the best of all of that. And I would presume that the guy's going to get better. I mean, he's 19 years old. The odds that he's tapped out are pretty low. Dude's going to get better. So when I see that rumor and I see these games that are played and it all kind of coalesces, I don't think that it's going to happen because it seems crazy to me that 3 teams would pass on Luka. But if so, the Grizzlies need to be there ready to snatch him up without any question. I do think that we're going to start seeing the process happen. I would expect this week the first workout, the first real true workout. The Grizzlies had a kind of a sort of a guy, undrafted guy / free agent type guy, summer league guy sort of workout earlier, but really not a major one. I would expect that those would start in earnest probably this week and certainly next week as you start to make your way towards the draft. Luka won't be one of them, but I would suspect the Grizzlies could get just about everybody else to come in, considering where they are. And if they can't, that's a red flag for sure and a little bit of a knock. But I would imagine they wouldn't have too much trouble getting the guys that they want. I'll be really interested to see how this process plays out. because you're already seeing and hearing lots of rumors that are starting to emerge. And I think there's enough weird situations and enough teams with multiple picks, enough teams that have some, you know, differing motivations. I mean, you have Cleveland sitting there, you know, with the eighth pick and a, you know, they could go a number of different ways with that. You have Philly at 10 and 26 and with four second round picks, they have cap space trying to win now. Could certainly see that pick or those picks or some combination of those picks be on the move. You have the situation in Minnesota, which seems extremely fraught, and that's where the Andrew Wiggins trade talks, I think, come in. Not as sure that, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be traded. That seems hard to come up with a trade that makes any sense at all involving Karl Anthony Towns, but it's easy enough to come up with one for Wiggins as long as the team is willing to take what is a astronomical contract. He's still got 4 years left on his deal that he signed last offseason, and about $150 million. That's a lot of money for Andrew Wiggins. But if a team is willing to take him on, then, you know, he's 23 and can score. I don't know what else he's really been able to prove that he can do in the league, but at least he can do that. You know, you could see him on the move. With so many teams having so many kind of, you know, differing motivations, you've got either Chicago with 7 and 22. That's probably their antsy to move around. I would imagine you have the Clippers at 12 and 13, who I think would probably be happy to move up in this draft. And you have a number of guys at the top of the draft who are going to be really evaluated seriously differently. I mean, you know, these guys are, there's a lot of differences in the way that, you know, decision makers are going to see these guys as NBA players. You know, we're already seeing an example of that. I think draft boards are going to be really, really different, which again will lead to the opportunity for trades. You know, all of that points in directions where there's going to be multiple trades. I would imagine the Grizzlies will be, you know, involved in those talks. And I think you'll see multiple trades. And I think you'll see some big trades leading up to the draft and then in free agency. Because a lot of teams, you know, there's not a lot of cap space floating around. There's not necessarily a lot of ways for those teams to get better apart from making those trades. And you do have a lot of teams that don't quite feel right. They don't feel like the core is really settled. And if that is the case, then hey, man, that it's going to be wild. I love it. I love when it gets like this. But I hope, it is my hope that the Grizzlies don't do anything stupid and trade that pick. There's no reason to. There's no point in doing it. Do not try to throw good money after bad. Do not try to squeeze a playoff appearance out of this next group that this next year's team that isn't going to be there naturally. You know, if you get a great pick at four and it's a guy that immediately impacts your team, whoever it happens to be, and, you know, Mike Conley's super healthy and Marc Gasol super healthy and Chandler Parsons is somehow healthier than imagined, and Dylan Brooks continues to get better, all these good things happen, then great. You make the playoffs. That's awesome. You know, if you do it like that, wonderful, because you're going to be ahead of schedule and you're still going to have your group to build around. You're going to have those young players and then that young star that you've ideally picked in this draft. You're going to have that group to build around. Great. But to sacrifice that to try to squeeze out a little something extra from this group seems really short-sighted. It would be a very, very bad idea. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. But I don't think you can rule anything out at this stage. Let me know what you think. As always, at Peter Edmiston on Twitter, at Peter Edmiston. You can email me as well, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening and being part of Locked on Grizzlies. We'll talk to you soon.